Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. On this Saturday, April 18th, 2009, I'll be taking you to the 11:30 a.m. We'll do 60 minutes of jam-packed sports. Of course, we'll be looking at the NBA playoffs. I'll give you previews of all eight series as the NBA begins its second season, and it's about time. I mean, it took absolutely forever for this season to get to the playoffs, but the playoffs are finally here. They will, of course, kick off at 12:30 p.m. on ESPN, where you'll have the shorthanded defending champion Boston Celtics host the Chicago Bulls, who, ever since they made the trade to get Brad Miller and John Thomas, have really played well, played great at home. I don't think they're going to beat. You know, I don't think they can beat Boston, but they have played well. And they have been fun to watch. You look at the playoffs right now, and I can't remember a year in recent memory where it's just been so one-sided as far as the favorites to get to the finals. I mean, if you don't have a Cleveland Los Angeles Lakers final, then you have a major story on your hands come in June. I mean, there have been years. Listen, you went the whole decade of the 80s basically with either Boston or LA. And winning a championship. They won 8 out of 10 championships during that decade. But they were, in spite of that, you still had other teams that were capable, more than capable of beating them, whether it be Detroit or Philly in the Eastern Conference, or whether it be somebody like Houston or Utah, or Phoenix in the Western Conference. I mean, you had teams out there that can compete with those top teams, and if they slipped a little bit, they could be beat. I don't see that this year with Cleveland and the Lakers. I mean, I think the Lakers and Cleveland can get to the NBA Finals and not even play great in order to get to the NBA Finals. I mean, last year, Boston had to play great to beat Cleveland in that seven-game series. Boston had to play great to beat Detroit last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. So it is really one-sided this year. I think it's a problem. I think it's a major problem in the NBA that nobody seems to be talking about. It seems to be going unnoticed. I'll tell you later on in the program how the NBA can be fixed and how you can have more quality teams capable of winning a championship. Because it's not going to get any better as these years go along. I mean, it's not. There are just too many bad, mediocre teams in the NBA right now. That's why you almost had four teams basically win 60 games. You had the Lakers, Cleveland, Boston all win 60 games. Orlando almost won 60 games, and they won 59 games. Would have won 60 if not for the late snide that they had, for the late two or three games, for the late streak that they had of losing. And certainly they had some injuries. Rashard Lewis and Hedi Turkoglu that contributed to that, so they would have won 60 games easily. And that, you know, when you have three or four teams winning 60 games, there's a problem with the rest of the teams in the NBA. But the NBA playoffs are finally here, and certainly looking forward to it. You'll have a bunch of basketball. I mean, you'll have four games tonight. You have Cleveland today. Cleveland, Detroit will be playing today, 3 p.m. You have a couple of Western Conference matchups tonight with Houston and Portland, we'll be playing later on, and San Antonio and Dallas, which is a matchup that I'm looking forward to, we'll be playing tonight. So you have the NBA, of course. As far as the MVP goes, I don't think there's any question LeBron James is the MVP of the league. I'm surprised how many people are on the Dwayne Wade bandwagon for being MVP. I mean, I know Miami improved from last year, but that wasn't hard to beat considering that they only won 15 games last year. If I had a vote, I would go LeBron, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard, and then Dwayne Wade in that particular order as far as the MVP goes. And I don't understand what the confusion is about the criteria of the MVP award. I mean, to me, it's simple. I mean, it goes to the best player on a team with the best record, and it's been that way. That criteria has been going on for the NBA for the past 50 or 60 years. When the Celtics were winning championships with Bill Russell. I mean, it's just that simple. It goes to the best player on the best team. Now, occasionally, once in a while, you'll get you know, you'll get a player who had a great statistical year on a team who might have the second best record in the league. You might get that, but you're not going to get a player. We're not going to get a player who had an exceptional year who was on a team that only won, you know, 45, 46 games, that won less than 50 games. It's not going to happen in the NBA. So I don't understand what the confusion was with that. But regardless of that, LeBron James will be your league MVP for 2008-2009 season. A lot to do on the program. We'll go through the Eastern Conference first after the update, and then we'll get to the West. I also will tell you how I would go about fixing the NBA. To me, I have four simple solutions on how to fix the NBA and get the game where it should be, or close to where it should be, in terms of level of play. I will tell you that later on in the program. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. On the other side of the update, I will preview the Eastern Conference and tell you who will win each series and why. That is still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Gary Sheffield became the 25th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 500 home runs. Sheffield homered off Milwaukee pitcher Mitch Stetler and a 5-4 New York Mets win. 5-4 New York Mets win. Sheffield, probably, you know, that's probably the only reason why Sheffield is even still playing, was to get home run number 500, but he becomes, again, the 25th player in Major League Baseball to hit 500 home runs. The Eagles have traded for offensive tackle Jason Peters. The Eagles get Peters, who is one of the better tackles in the league right now, only 26 years old in the prime of his career. In return, the Buffalo Bills will get the Eagles' 28th pick, the Eagles' first round pick, which is the 28th pick. They will also get a fourth round pick and a sixth round pick in 2010. And this is what happens when you stack draft picks. You can make moves like this as the Eagles get a top flight offensive tackle, and they still have another first round pick. I think we'll have the 21st pick in this year's upcoming draft. They immediately signed Peters to a four-year, $53 million contract extension. Pittsburgh Penguins take a 2-0 lead over the Philadelphia Flyers with a 3-2 overtime win. Bill Guerin, who is still playing amazingly at the age of 38 years old, scores the game-winning goal. Also in the NHL playoffs, you had Carolina defeat New Jersey in overtime 2-1. They have a 2-0 lead over the Devils, and you have Vancouver shut out St. Louis 3-0. Vancouver leads that series, best-of-seven series, 2-0. Baseball scores: the Yankees get by Cleveland, edge Cleveland 6-5. Derek Jeter hits a game-winning home run. Oakland over Toronto 8-5. Boston rallies to defeat Boston, comes behind from 5 runs down to defeat Boston, beat Baltimore 10-8. Tampa Bay edges St. Chicago. Chicago White Sox 6-5. Minnesota defeats the Angels 11-8, as they came from way behind to win that game. 11-9, as they came from they had scored seven runs in the bottom of the eighth to win that game. Seattle over Detroit 6-3. Kansas City pounds Texas 12-3. On the other side, I will have the National League scores in the next update. Eastern Conference basketball will kick off today at 12:30 p.m. You'll have Boston taking on Chicago, and we'll begin with that series. I like Boston in that series. I just don't like how Chicago plays defense. Remember, Chicago doesn't guard anybody. They can score. They can score a lot of points, but they also give up a ton of points on the season. Gave up well over 100 points a game on this season. I think Boston will be motivated by people dismissing them as far as them being a championship contender. I think they'll be motivated. They still have a very good team. I mean, we still have Paul Pierce, you still have Ray Allen, you still have Rajon Rondo, Kendrick Perkins. I mean, they still have a formidable team. They just don't have a team that can win a championship. But they're still good enough to beat the Chicago Bulls. Chicago just does not have. To me, they just don't defend. They don't guard anybody. It will be a fun series to watch. But I like Boston in five games in that particular series. Cleveland versus Detroit. A couple of weeks ago, this looked like a series that had some interest. Detroit was playing well. You thought that they might have one last run in them as far as not so much making a run to win a championship, but possibly scaring somebody. I don't think they're going to even come close to scaring Cleveland. I mean, this game has five games written all over it. I would not be shocked at all if Cleveland swept Detroit. Detroit, it seems to me like Detroit has absolutely mailed it in. They're already thinking about the offseason. I mean, you have expiring contracts with Rasheed Wallace and Allen Iverson. Iverson, of course, is out for the rest of the season. I don't know if they have completely bought into what Michael Curry is selling them. I mean, they have a lot of veterans on that team. There have been questions on whether or not they actually listen to him. I mean, you had that whole Christmas Day or Christmas Eve thing with Allen Iverson questioning having practice on Christmas Day. You had that. But Detroit did not play well down the stretch, and I cannot see this series going beyond five games. And again, I would be shocked. I'll be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Cleveland swept Detroit. Many people are predicting that, and rightfully so. But I still think Detroit will be able to get one game. Atlanta taking on Miami in a four or five series, and there are a lot of people who believe Miami can win this series based on the fact that they will clearly have the best player on the floor. With all due respect to Joe Johnson, Dwayne Wade is by far and away the best player in that series. I don't think Dwayne Wade can single-handedly, beat the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you talk about not only does Atlanta beat them in the season series 3-1, which, I mean, you can take whatever out. You can take from that what you want. I mean, it could have been over the course of back-to-back games. A lot of the injuries, a lot of things could have went into that. Atlanta's a better team. I mean, from top to bottom, they're a better team than Miami. They have more, they have more go-to guys. They have more pieces, a little bit deeper. I'll be worried about Miami's lack of experience. I mean, you get past Wade and Udonis Haslem. That team is very young. That team is young. I mean, Mario Chalmers is a rookie start. He has a starting rookie point guard. You have a guy in Jamario Moves starts for you. He really doesn't have too much playoff experience. Then you have your top, probably your top bench guy in Michael Beasley, who also is a rookie. So I think they lack a lot of it. They lack experience. And again, I think home court advantage will be the difference in the series. But Dwayne Wade will have a big series, and I think he will be single-handedly will get them to a seventh game where I think Atlanta will take care of business and win that series. I would not be shocked if Miami won the series, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I like Atlanta in seven games. But they could be playing. They could possibly be playing for Mike Woodson's job. I mean, he only has 1 year left on his contract after this year. So, I mean, there's a lot of talk that he needs to win this series in order to get another contract extension. So this could be big from one Mike Woodson. As far as Philadelphia and Orlando goes, this could be a very entertaining series. Orlando's come into this series not playing good basketball at all. They had some injuries down the stretch, of course. I mentioned earlier with Turkoglu over Rashard Lewis. Both those guys are expected to play in this series and in this game, in game one, of course. Philadelphia is an interesting team to watch. They're an athletic team. They like to get up and down the court. They really don't have any low post presence, especially with Elton Brand being hurt. Ironically, they start playing some of their best basketball when Elton Brand got injured. I think this is a six-game series. I think Orlando, I think Dwight Howard, and I don't think they have an answer at all for Dwight Howard in the middle, and I think that could be the difference. Orlando has a lot to prove. I mean, they really need to handle, take care of their business in this series. Don't need to prolong it any longer than it should go. Because more than likely, they're going to have to face Boston in the second round without home court advantage. So they need to get this series over as soon, as quick as possible. And I think Philadelphia last year played well against Detroit, against a good Detroit team, took them to six games. I expect that team is back, and they might even be a little bit better this year than what they were last year. Philadelphia, again, is a scrappy team. scrappy team like they like to get up and down the floor. Iguodala played well down the stretch over the second half of the season after getting off to a slow start. Thaddeus Young will be back. You still have Andre Miller with a lot of playoff experience. I like this Philadelphia team, but I don't like them to win this series. I think it'll take Orlando to a tough 6-game series. Would I be shocked if it went 7 games? Probably not, considering how Orlando is playing right now, and that they really didn't go into the playoffs playing their best basketball. And again, Orlando has a lot to prove. A lot of people don't like Orlando as far as being a championship caliber team. I'm one of those people. You know, and you hear about Orlando as a team seems to be very sensitive about what is said about them. Well, they have a chance to prove that. You know, if they can get to an Eastern Conference Finals, they will kind of knock off some of the bad talk that's going against them, you know, by the naysayers. So they'll have their chance as they will take on a Philadelphia team that they should be able to handle in six games, and also probably more likely a Boston team without Kevin Garnett. So there you go. Cleveland, Orlando, Atlanta, and Boston all should advance to the conference semifinals in the Eastern Conference. Still to come, I will have on the other side of the update, I will have the Western Conference. I will take a look at the Western Conference. You know, can anybody even make the Lakers sweat? I'll take a look at that. And also still to come, I will break down the Washington Redskins schedule as the NFL schedules came out this week. I'll take a look at that and also tell you how the NBA could be fixed. Again, it is not that hard. It's not as hard as you think it is. I'll tell you how the NBA could be fixed. That is still to come, and much, much more top stories as well. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 47 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, I'll be taking you, of course, to the 11:30 hour, so still a lot to do on this nice, beautiful Saturday morning. Gary Sheffield became the 25th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 500 home runs. Sheffield hit a game-winning home run off Milwaukee pitcher Mitch Stettler as the Mets defeated the Brewers 5-4. Sheffield is one of the oldest members to reach the 500 home run plateau. So Gary Sheffield, the 25th player ever to get 500 home runs. The Philadelphia Eagles have traded their first round pick, the 28th pick to the Buffalo Bills for left guard Jason Peters. Peters will help solidify that Philadelphia offensive line, which is going to be great this year considering they have Shane Andrews and also Stacey Andrews along with Peters. The Eagles will not only get the Eagles' first round pick this year, they will also get the Eagles' fourth round pick and the Eagles' sixth round pick in 2010. Immediately, the Eagles signed Jason Peters to a four-year, $53 million extension to lock him up long term. Peters is one of the better tackles in all of football. I mean, he's one of the better young tackles in all of football. Just 26 years old, and apparently the Bills did not want to give him a contract extension. So that really was the key to this whole deal as far as why the Bills would look to trade a player of his caliber. Pittsburgh Penguins take a commanding 2-0 lead over the Philadelphia Flyers with a 3-2 overtime win. Bill Guerin scored the game winning goal in overtime. Carolina evens the series up with New Jersey 1-1 with a 2-1 win in overtime. And also the Vancouver Canucks shut out St. Louis 3-0. Vancouver takes a commanding 2-0 lead in their best of 7 series. American League scores, National League scores. St. Louis defeats Chicago, edges out St. Louis 8-7. Florida in 10 innings defeats Washington 3-2. Florida improves to 9-1 on the season. San Diego gets by Philadelphia 8-7. Pittsburgh shuts out Atlanta 3-0. Cincy defeats Houston 2-1. The Dodgers over Colorado 4-3. Alfonso Soriano. Dodgers over Colorado 4-3, and San Francisco shuts out Arizona 2-0. The Giants snap a 6-game losing streak. Still to come, I will tell you how to fix the NBA, and also we'll have top stories as broadcasting took a major hit as the world of the sports broadcaster took a major hit this past week with a couple of losses. We'll talk about that and much, much more still to come on this Saturday morning wake up on this latest edition of the Saturday morning wake up call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. As you look at the Western Conference, we'll begin right at the top with the Lakers in Utah. This might be one of the most one-sided series in the playoffs. Utah right now is on a free fall. They did not play well down the stretch. And with all the talent that they have, there's no way in the world with a weak Western Conference that Utah should have been the eighth seed. I know they had injuries to Boozer earlier, to Darren Williams earlier, but there was a point in March, in February into early March, when Utah would have won 16 out of 18 games. It looked to be, and to me, looked like they were going to be the biggest threat to playing the Los Angeles Lakers, but they were awful down the stretch. They lose a 29-point game to the Dallas Mavericks, about a couple weeks back. They, lose a couple of key home games. They really played their way. They really had a lock a couple of weeks ago. Had a lock on the number seven spot. Could have moved up to even number six, but they fall to the number eight spot. And again, they will play the Los Angeles Lakers again. The Lakers can name their score in this series. Utah cannot defend the Lakers at all down low, especially with Andrew Bynum back. Utah doesn't guard anybody. They still have some weapons on the offensive end. For Darren Williams is playing great right now. They have Boozer. They'll have Okor back. Millsap has really slipped since getting off to that hot start, that good start at the beginning of the first half of the season. His play has slipped. But the Lakers just have too many weapons. Again, if this series goes beyond five games, I'll be shocked if it goes beyond five games. The Lakers could sweep Utah. I don't think they will, but they could sweep Utah. Utah is such a great home team that you wouldn't be surprised at all if Utah got one game three down in Salt Lake City. Denver versus New Orleans, a 2-7. Now let me keep one thing in mind about the Western Conference. Once you get past the Los Angeles Lakers, these teams from 2-7. Are evenly matched. Once you get past the Lakers, there's a big time gap between the Lakers and the next best team in the Western Conference. So don't get confused by these records or by the seedings, 2-7, 3-6. And that brings me to this next series in terms of Denver and New Orleans. New Orleans is struggling right now with some injuries. They'll have all their people back, but how much Stojakovic, how much James Posey, and how much Tyson Chandler have in the tank remains to be seen. But I think this is going to be a seven-game series. I'm still not completely sold on Denver as being now all of a sudden this championship caliber or a team that has now completely bought into the defensive end. I know they improved J.R. Smith. To have somebody like J.R. Smith that can drop 30 or 40 in a game is definitely an advantage. They're deeper than what they have been. Carmelo's playing better. Of course, Chauncey Billups stabilized them, when they made the trade, when they traded Iverson for him, way back when. But here's the problem with Denver going up against New Orleans. One, the best player on the floor, clearly the best player on the floor, will reside in a New Orleans Hornets uniform. Chris Paul can single-handedly dominate this series. He could wreck this series for Denver. And again, I think Denver will win based on the home court in a seventh game, but I would not be surprised at all if New Orleans won this series. New Orleans, despite all their struggles, is still a pretty good road team. They were 21-20 on the road. They were only one of seven teams in the NBA that had winning record. They had a winning record on the road, so they're not going to be intimidated by playing, they're not going to be intimidated by playing in Denver at all. But I just think that when it comes down to it, that will be the difference in a seven game. But again, I would not be surprised at all if New Orleans won this series. As good as Chauncey Billups is, he cannot match up whatsoever with Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to have his way in this series, and that will, to me, that single-handedly will make this a seven-game series Paul, along with David West, who had an All Star caliber year, will get New Orleans to a seventh game, but I like Denver in seven games. San Antonio and Dallas. San Antonio is a 3, of course. Dallas is a 6, and wow, I mean, how things have changed quickly with these two teams. 3 years ago, this was a superpower matchup. I mean, 3 years ago, both these teams were championship caliber teams, but injuries and old age have taken their toll on both these teams. This is one of the toughest series out of all the first round series. This definitely is one of the hardest to pick. Dallas has gotten healthy. Josh Howard is back. They played well down the stretch. San Antonio still has, of course, still has Tony Parker and Tim Duncan. Duncan right now is really not. Is really hobbling. I mean, they really tried. They went. San Antonio went out of their way to rest him over the course of the season due to his knees. I'm picking an upset here. I like Dallas in six games. I think now that I think that San Antonio. They're catching San Antonio at the right time. No Ginobili. They have an old bench. Roger Mason is playing well, but I just don't like the San. I don't like the San Antonio team right now. And I think Dallas. Again, I think Dallas is catching them at the right time. I like Dallas in six games. I think they'll split, win both games in Dallas, and finish it off in Dallas in a game six. Playing at home court advantage is not a big deal for San Antonio. At the way it used to be, they lost 13 home games this season, which is a lot. I mean, that's a lot for a team of their caliber. You could go either way in the series, but I like Dallas. I like Dallas in 6 games. I think Josh Howard, adding him to what Nowitzki already brings and what Jason Terry is going to bring off the bench, to me, it will be the difference. Jason Kidd has also played well in this series, though he will have his hands full. Against one Tony Parker, played great this year. Tony Parker really has stepped up his game this year. It's kind of gotten overshadowed by the likes of LeBron, Kobe, and say Dwayne Wade. But Tony Parker had a great season. But Dallas will find a way to win this series in six games. Houston versus Portland, the 4-5 matchup. Portland does have home court advantage. There are a lot of people that are on Houston. On Houston because of the presence of Yao Ming and because of the lack of Portland of experience from Portland Trailblazers. But let me ask you a question: Who really has a lack of experience? When you look at the Houston Rockets roster, I mean, these guys like Aaron Brooks, these Shane Battier's of the world. These guys haven't won anything. I mean, Shane Battier, he's been in the league for about 5 or 6 years, but he hasn't. I mean, when has he won? I mean, he was on a terrible team in Memphis. Even Yao Ming hasn't won a playoff series. The only guy that has any winning experience on this team is Ron Artest, and that was the most he's gotten to the conference finals with Indiana a few years ago. So, I mean, you look at some of Von Wafer, some of these guys that they have, they don't, Carl Landry, they don't have winning, they haven't won anything. They haven't gotten out of the first round. So I think that Portland's lack of experience will not be that big of a deal. Plus, I love how Portland's playing right now. They can match up with Houston down low. They can throw Chris Miller and Oden at Yao Ming. They're deep off the bench. I really like Portland in this matchup. I like Portland in six games. Portland started playing better on the road over the course of the regular season. And nobody down the stretch played better at home. Just go ask the Los Angeles Lakers, then the Portland Trailblazers. So I like Portland to take care of business against a Houston team. And nobody can talk about McGrady now that he's hurt, but against a Houston team that has not gotten out of the first round since the Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon days. And that is a long time ago. You talk about you're going back to like the late 90s. That's the last time that Houston got out of the first round. And I think that trend will continue this year as I like Portland to win this series. So, yeah, the Lakers, Denver, Dallas, and Portland, I like advancing on to the conference semifinals. And, again, besides the Lakers series, if any of these lower seeded teams win, it would not be a shock at all. Again, I picked Dallas to win. If Houston were to beat Portland or if New Orleans were to beat Denver, nobody would be surprised. I mean, those teams are basically evenly matched up, and are basically evenly matched up once you get past the Lakers. When you look at the big picture in terms of who's going to be in the finals, I mean, surprise, surprise, you know, it will be the Lakers and it will be the Cleveland Cavaliers that will be playing for the championship. Unless you have a major injury to a key player, that's going to be the finals. And to me, when you talk about winning an NBA championship, you have to have three things. You have to have an absolute beast of a player. You have to have a guy that you can get a ball to that can just go out there and just take over a game at any time. Check mark for both Cleveland and Lakers have that. You have to at some point in time be able to get a stop in a key spot. Cleveland definitely has that. The Lakers have been inconsistent defensively, but their defensive numbers are better than what you think they are. They are top 5 and 6 in both field goal percentage against and also 3-point field goal percentage against, and they generate turnovers. So their defense is good enough to win a championship. But most importantly to me, and this is the thing that separates the two teams, is you have to have a low post presence. You have to have at least one guy down low that you can throw the ball down to, and he either is going to get fouled, or he's going to score. And that's where the Lakers separate themselves from the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have a Paul Gasol and an Andrew Bynum. Cleveland does not have that low post presence that, you know, that can, you know, that can draw fouls, that you even have to worry about. I mean, who is Cleveland's best post up? Who is Cleveland's best post up player? I mean, when you think about it, Ilgauskas shoots jump shots. Ben Wallace has no offensive game. LeBron doesn't post up. I mean, who is their legitimate post up presence down low? The Lakers can come off with Gasol, Bynum, and Kobe. Kobe can post up at times over the course of the game down low. That's why the Los Angeles Lakers will win the NBA championship, because, you know, you look at the history of the NBA. Russell, Chamberlain, you know, Willis Reed, Kareem, Shaq, Tim Duncan, Hakeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, gotta have that big man down low. Gotta have that quality big man that you can just throw the ball down to and get shots, get fouls. Cleveland does not have that. And again, if they were playing anybody else but the Lakers, it would be Cleveland's year. But I believe that, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers will win the NBA championship. There's enormous pressure on the Lakers and LeBron James, for that matter. It's more pressure on the Lakers because they're supposed to win. If Cleveland lost to the Lakers, it would not be a big disappointment. I think the pressure for Cleveland is getting to the NBA Finals. Anything less than an NBA Finals appearance will be a major disappointment for Cleveland and LeBron James. Still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, I will give you the Washington Redskins schedule. We'll break down that. Also, I will tell you how to fix the NBA. I will tell you how to fix the NBA and also top stories. That is still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Gary Sheffield became the 25th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 500 home runs as he led the Mets to a 5-4 victory over the Milwaukee Brewers. NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles have traded their first round pick, which was the 28th pick in this year's draft, to the Buffalo Bills to get left tackle Jason Peters. The Bills also will get, along with that first round pick, also will get the Eagles' fourth round pick for this year and the Eagles' sixth round pick for 2010. Peters has already signed a 4-year, $53 million extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. Pittsburgh takes a commanding 2-0 lead with a 2-1, 3-2 overtime victory over the Philadelphia Flyers. Bill Guerin scored the game-winning goal. Carolina evens their series up with New Jersey with a 2-1 victory in overtime. And Vancouver shuts out St. Louis 3-0, and they lead their best-of-seven series 2-0. American League scores. The Yankees edge Cleveland 6-5 on a game-winning home run by Derek Jeter. Oakland over Toronto 8-5. Boston comes back to beat Baltimore 10-8. Tampa Bay gets by Chicago 6-5. Minnesota rallies against the Angels 11-9. They score 7 runs in the 8th inning. Seattle defeats Detroit 6-3. Kansas City pounds Texas 12-3. Of course, you have the NFL schedule come out this week. As an event was made out of it. I mean, both the NFL Network and ESPN go and do 2 hour, you know, celebrations on the NFL schedule. And of course, I watched some of it. I didn't watch all of it, but I mean, you're feeding for the NFL. If you're NFL for anything that has to do with the NFL, you're going to see, you're going to watch, whether it's the draft or anything else. So, you know, got a chance to check it out. And when you look at the Washington Redskins schedule, it is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. They better get off to a good start because they're going to open the game. They're going to open the season in Giants Stadium against the Giants on Sunday, a 4-15 matchup. But after that, the schedule does get soft. You know, they have home against St. Louis. They're at Detroit. Home against Tampa. Then they'll travel to play at Carolina. Then they'll have Kansas City and Philadelphia at home before that bye week. I'm telling you, they better be a minimum, and I mean a minimum 4-3, if not 5-2, because once they get returned from that bye week, their schedule is murder. I mean, in week 9 they'll be at Atlanta, Denver home, at Dallas, at Philadelphia, New Orleans, and New Orleans. I mean, that is a brutal stretch of games. For the second straight year, they have to go at Dallas, at Philadelphia for the second straight year. Last year, of course, they won both those games when they had to play the back-to-back road games. And then once you get past that part of the schedule, they'll have two West Coast trips at Oakland, Giants, Dallas at home, and they'll finish off the season on January 3rd at San Diego. That is a difficult schedule for the Redskins. I mean, you have six automatic tough games within a division, and then you're talking about road games at Carolina, at Atlanta, and at San Diego. Not easy. Not easy at all. And, again, they need to get off to a fast start. A couple other things that stood out amongst the NFL scheduling, of course, Dallas gets six primetime games. And no surprise there, Dallas Cowboys are still the most popular team in the NFL. They will get six primetime matchups. The Bears, how did the Chicago Bears get five primetime matchups? I mean, don't make Jay Cutler out to be Tom Brady here. I mean, how did the Bears get more primetime matchups than New England? New England with Tom Brady, they get four primetime appearances. The Bears get five. I mean, that's the only thing to me that bothered me about the schedule. I mean, it is crazy. There's no way that the Chicago Bears should have five primetime matchups, you know, between Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. I didn't get that part of the schedule, but it is what it is from that. It is what it is. And again, you'll have Pittsburgh will get five match. Will be on five times. Indianapolis will be on five times. So, I mean, for the most part, the NFL got it right with the schedule. But going back to the Redskins, they better get off to a fast start. Coming up after the update, I will tell you how I would go about fixing the NBA. I would go about fixing the NBA and, again, raising the level of play. This year was not a good year for the NBA. It was a bad year for the NBA. It came down to more than just economics, as you see some certain franchises struggling in light performance with that. So I will tell you how I would go about fixing the NBA. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call of 8 minutes after 11 o'clock hour. After the 11 o'clock hour, I will take you down to the 11:30, to the bottom half of the 11:30 hour. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Gary Sheffield became the 25th player in Major League Baseball history to hit 500 home runs as he hit the game-winning home run against the Milwaukee Brewers as the Mets defeat the Brewers 5-4. The home run came off pitcher Mitch Stetzer. The Eagles have traded for left tackle Jason Peters. The Eagles trade the 28th pick of this year's draft to the Buffalo Bills, and also the Bills will get the Eagles' fourth round pick and a 2010 pick and a sixth round pick in 2010. The Eagles signed Peters to a four-year, $53 million contract extension. Pittsburgh takes a commanding 2-0 lead over the Philadelphia Flyers with a 3-2 overtime win. Bill Guerin scores a game-winning goal in overtime. Carolina evens their series with New Jersey at one. with a 2-1 victory in overtime over the Devils. And Vancouver shuts out St. Louis 3-0. 3-0. They lead that best of seven series 2-0. National League scores: St. Louis, Chicago gets by St. Louis 8-7 on 8-7. Alfonso Soriano hits his fifth home run of the season. Florida edges Washington 3-2 in 10 innings. Florida is a major league best 9-1 on the season, playing great baseball. San Diego defeats Philadelphia 8-7. Pittsburgh shuts out Atlanta 3-0. Cincinnati gets by St. Houston 2-1. 2-1. The Dodgers beat Colorado 4-3, and San Francisco shuts out Arizona 2-0, snapping a 6-game losing streak. I've been doing a lot of complaining lately about the NBA and where the game is at right now, as far as just how many just terrible teams, how many bad teams they are, the level of play, how long the season, just all, and the fact that there's not going to be much drama in this year's playoffs. I mean, again, the Lakers and Cavaliers are such overwhelming favorites. If you get a Lakers Cavaliers series, great. I mean maybe Boston can find a way to push Cleveland. I don't know. I doubt it. Maybe Portland can, you know, give the Lakers a scare. Who knows with that? They do match up with them better than any team in the Western Conference. But again, there's not much drama at all going to these NBA playoffs. I'll come up with four solutions on how I would fix the NBA. Number one, we need to start contracting some teams. There are some teams or some certain franchises that should not have NBA teams. New Jersey Nets, they can't sell out. They play in a dump in the swamp in Brendan in that arena. Nobody, even when the Nets are good, the games aren't sold out. They've been talking about Brooklyn for the last 3 or 4 years. It's not going to happen. Until I see them break ground, forget about Brooklyn. So get rid of the Nets. Milwaukee, every year you hear about Milwaukee and how much young talent they have. Milwaukee has not been a factor since the Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell teams back in the late 90s, early part of this decade. And really, for the most part, they haven't been a factor. Outside of that, they haven't been a factor even going back further, back to the Ricky Green, Terry Cummins days in the early to mid-80s. Again, Milwaukee, you need basketball in Milwaukee. I mean, you have the Green Bay Packers. Get rid of them. Charlotte, they should have never started. I mean, they were once good when they had the Hornets. That time is done. They should have never got a franchise. They should have never got a franchise in Charlotte again. That was one of the very few very few moves financially that Bob Johnson has made as he's a billionaire. But again, you have Tobacco, UNC, Duke. Charlotte Bobcats do not need, the state of North Carolina does not need a pro basketball team with the presence of all the college basketball you have down there. They just don't. The Clippers, why the Clippers still have a team is beyond me. They never win anything. They always have young talent and developing players. The Clippers are, as long as Donald Sterling is the owner, the Clippers are never going to do anything. They're always going to be in the shadow of the Lakers. And again, how many losing seasons is it going to take to get the Clippers out of here? I mean, the Clippers never win anything. They are like the Detroit Lions of pro basketball. The Grizzlies once had a promising future when they had, back in the early part of this decade, when they had Paul Gasol. That is long gone now. And again, they're going to be a team that's always rebuilding, always have an influx of young talent. Every year you hear, well, they're young and talented. But again, they're one of these teams that are always rebuilding, and there's no end in sight to Memphis being bad. Minnesota, again, Minnesota hasn't been a factor since Kevin Garnett, since going back to the Kevin Garnett early part of this decade. I don't see them being a factor. Even with the presence of Al Jefferson, I don't see them being a factor in a near upcoming future. Again, do you need a basketball team in the state of Minnesota? I mean, you had the Gophers, you had the Vikings in football. I mean, there are too many teams in the NBA that are always rebuilding. They're always rebuilding. I mean, you have certain teams that get good for a couple of years, and then they'll fall off. The players will get old, and then they'll rebuild. Then they'll just start rebuilding again. But there are teams. There are just too many teams that are constantly rebuilding. Like, when are they going to get good? At what point? At what point are they going to get good? So I would get rid of six. I would get rid of those six teams. You get rid of those teams. All those teams have good players on them. All those teams have at least probably one all-star caliber player on them, maybe with the exception of the Bobcats. So you spread that talent amongst the rest of the NBA, then, you know, I think the quality of play would go up a little bit from that standpoint. If you have all the rest of the NBA teams with better players on the rest of the NBA teams amongst the group. You know, you put Vince Carter on somebody else's team, or Devin Harris, or Baron Davis, or Rudy Gay, or Al Jefferson on another team, you know, the level of play would definitely have to go up. Number two, get rid of the zone. I don't know why the NBA ever thought of putting the zone in. Players can't shoot. So to me, they say it produces more ball movement. I have not seen it. To me, if a team can sit back in a zone, the ball is not going to be moving. All teams are going to be doing seven to three point shots. There were 10 teams this year that took at least 20 or more. They are at 20 or more three points for a game. That's too many. That's too many teams, and that's too many three point field goal attempts per game. I liked it better when it was just strictly man to man. So what? It was isolation. At least what's a high percentage shot? A three pointer or a guy going to the hole where he is going to get fouled or he's going to get a high percentage shot. And now with the rules on terms of how you can't touch guys, to me that would create more. That's going to create even more offense. So get rid of the zone. I mean, the zone, you should not be allowed to play zone. The zone is built for college and also high school. It should have never been introduced into the NBA. Three, shorten the season by at least 20 games. The season is entirely too long. If you shorten the season by 20 games, the players will be fresher going into the playoffs. Nobody has to see a game every night in the NBA. I don't have to see. I mean, you have football going on for most of the time. You have, February. You have college basketball. You don't have to see NBA basketball every single night of the week. You know, again, the players will be much fresher going into the playoffs. You don't need 82 games. The NBA season is entirely too long. It's just a marathon from November to June. I was shorten the season by at least 20 games. And number four, this will never happen. This will never happen, but this will be the most surefire way of raising the level of play. No more guaranteed contracts. I mean, go take a page out of the NFL book. If a guy doesn't produce, you can cut him. And the only guaranteed part of his contract, it would be his signing bonus. Give him a signing bonus. Be like, have a guy sign for, have the great player sign for a $15, $20 million signing bonus. I wouldn't mind that. But no more guaranteed contracts. You have too many guys that get fat and happy once they get a big contract, especially when they get that, after that rookie, they'll play hard for the first couple of years because there is a rookie skill. But once they get that second contract, you have guys just fall off the map and just steal money. Don't guarantee any more NBA contracts, and I guarantee you guys will be playing. The game will be so much better. But again, that is an absolute pipe dream. Something that will never happen. That will never happen in the NBA. So that would be my solution into fixing the NBA. But it'll probably the one thing that might happen is you might see a couple of these teams get contracted. That might be a thing. That could happen, especially from an economic standpoint. If these teams can, start losing a ton of money, that could possibly happen. I don't think it would be six. It might be one or two, but the rest of those things are just absolute pipe dreams as far as shortening the season and also the no guarantee contracts. Top stories of the week. Harry Callis passes away at the age of 73. Of course, he's a longtime Philadelphia Philly broadcaster. 38 years, was inducted to the Hall of Fame back in 2002. He did, obviously he did Phillies radio and TV. He did a voiceover for the NFL, basically took over for John Facenda in doing those voiceovers for those NFL films, did work with HBO, with Inside the NFL, one of the great voices that you'll ever hear. Again, he does not have to take a backseat to anybody as far as all-time great broadcast. You have a caller on the line. Yes, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah.
I want to say I love your show. It's Chad from Jersey. I called a couple months ago. Can I give a shout-out before I begin?
Oh, good.
Yeah, I just want to shout-out my wife. Her birthday on Tuesday. Happy birthday.
All right.
Also shout-out to the Minots. OG Minot is over at the house making breakfast. So
Yeah,
making breakfast. Anyway, let's talk about the NBA for a second. I was listening to your show, and going back to the last thing you said about the segment, how you can fix the NBA, the last two things you said, we were talking about basically
the guaranteed contract and the
guaranteed contract. Let's stick with that for a second. I couldn't agree more. I mean, you look at NFL, and NFL actually should go to more of the NBA in regards to their contracts. So them boys out there about to die risking their lives or whatever. But the NBA, you got, I mean, we could just stick on the Knicks and talk about guaranteed contracts. You know, from Eddie Curry to when we had Jerome James, you know, these dudes, they play that contract year, get big for nothing, and then they sit on the bench and they go to the clubs and they party and all that other stuff. You know what I mean? So it's definitely terrible. It's definitely terrible. I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree more with the zone either because, you know, not trying to be racist or whatever, but these boys can't shoot, like you said. The zone ain't meant for the next Kobe or Jordan. You know, I just keep it at that. In regards to your playoff picks, I agree with you 100% this year. I really – the only thing I do differ on, and you didn't count Denver out, but I do think this is Denver's year. I'm not even going so far – as to the whole defensive philosophy, I don't buy into that either. But I really do believe this Chauncey Billups, just his winning experience, he's going to bring that edge when they need it. And with the Hornets, as much as Chris Paul definitely will be the best player on the court, I've seen him beat you single-handedly before, but I just don't think he has enough help to do it this year with the way Denver's playing and Denver being at home. So, I mean, like you said.
Denver should win that series. I like Denver in seven games. They should win that series. I mean, they do have a better team. They're deeper. The Hornets are banged up. They should win it. But I'm not completely sold on them locking key winning that series. I wouldn't be shocked if New Orleans upset them. No, I wouldn't be surprised if New Orleans upset them. I think Denver will win that series in seven games with the home court. But, that series will go. I mean, that's gonna be a good. It's gonna be a competitive series. It's gonna be real competitive.
Right, and that's what I wanted to say.
Because Chris Paul neutralizes their biggest strength as far as Chauncey Billups. I mean, that's like cutting off the head of a snake. I mean, you can. I mean, Billups will have a decent series, but you can eliminate the team's other key player, most valuable player. He is their most valuable player, even with Carmelo Anthony. That's big.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I want to go back real quick to the other when you said things you changed about the NBA. And going to the shortened season, I mean, once again, being a Knicks fan, I think that'd be the best thing in the world because we can give you a good 50 games and be competitive. But the season's too long. You don't give us a chance to basically try to get into the playoffs. So as a Knicks fan, definitely make the season 60 games at most and give us a chance. As far as the Spurs – you picked Dallas, and
as much as I want
to go there, I can't go there only because as good as Dallas has looked, Josh Howard, you know, Dirk, even Jason Kidd look very good. Jason Kidd, if there's anything that shows his age,
Tony Parker,
just like you said, Chris Paul, I think Tony Parker could take over that series.
Especially he could be at
home and getting at home cooking with the refs like they always do.
You could.
I'm going to have to pick the Spurs, but I would definitely prefer to see Dallas go the next round because, you know, I think San Antonio did a good job disguising how hurt Duncan was all season. Kept, you know, right off because he's just tired.
He's hurt.
You know, I mean, it's going to be a good playoff. Like you said, there's not a lot of controversy or drama. The only compelling story really is Kobe and LeBron. And also Portland is a good feel-good story.
Portland would be interesting to watch. They're an up-and-coming team. They're young, a lot of talent. They got, I mean, they're like almost like a mirror image of the Lakers in a lot of ways. Deep, got a lot of size. They're gonna be interesting to watch. I'm definitely keep your eye on Portland as far as what they do. I think they're gonna beat Houston, by the way.
Right. Yeah. I'd agree with that pick completely. I just, like you said, you know, I think we go too far with this whole experience thing. And like you said, okay, they're experienced, but they are experienced losing in regards to Houston.
Yeah, they do a lot of it. A lot of experience.
And Portland has been a very good home team. They will have the best player on the floor in Brandon Roy. They're deep.
I think Yao, that's like a slight edge with Yao. That, I mean, Roy's still younger. I mean, Yao's a center. I think I would give away Yao being the best player on the floor, but it's not
Let me clarify that. I agree with you. Yao Ming definitely is the best player on the floor. However, Brandon Roy will be the best player on the floor because he'll be on the floor longer than Yao. With Aldridge, Chris Villa, and Odin, I just think Yao, especially Aldridge, he's too quick for Yao Ming. And Scola, he's going to dominate Scola. I just feel like Yao's going to stay in foul trouble because even he hasn't looked completely. His foot has looked a little ginger, as always. So although Yao is the best player on the court, I just don't see him.
Roy, they don't have a matchup. Roy, they don't have a matchup at all for Roy. Artest can't guard Roy.
Batman does a decent job, but I just think that Portland, they're one of those teams, and they're well coached by Nate McMillan, but they impose their will on you. And I think they're just going to run the ball. You know, they're a very deep team because there are a lot of bodies at you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have.
Yeah, I mean, they have Odin coming off the bench, and that was the best move that they could have made to have him come off the bench.
Yeah, and speaking of Odin, that's another thing that the NBA should do, man. Like, stop marketing these players to be superstars until we've seen them play. And I hate to be another person knocking Odin, but with the recession, the economy, whatever you want to call it, people out here begging and looking, pleading for money. This man looks so just ungrateful. He's not happy. He's rarely motivated unless he's dunking on somebody. I mean, get it together. These boys today, they're too soft.
Yeah, you do 1 year of college, they don't know how to play coming into the NBA, so they don't have time to learn how to play when you get to the NBA. They're not trying to teach you in the NBA, so that's a big problem. I mean, it can't be fixed. I don't know how it can be fixed unless you just make them go for 2 years, and they're not going to go to college. They're going to go over to Europe and get paid, and they might not be good enough to play in Europe. They'll be sitting the bench there, because in Europe, they're not going to play players just because their reputation is coming out of high school. Those guys are sitting, they're going to play their best players. So I don't know what they can do from that standpoint as far as, making these guys, you can't make these guys go to college. Most of these guys need minimum two years of college, minimum. I've never seen a player stay for 3 or 4 years, no more than 2 years, that hasn't turned out to be good as he hasn't gotten better. I mean, if he wasn't going to be good staying 4 years, he wasn't going to be good coming out 2 years. So,
I couldn't agree more. College is overrated in regards to – now, I understand I'm not saying college is overrated in its entirety. But if you're going solely to be a basketball player – I mean, I went to school with basketball players. They was in my classes. They didn't show up to class. They had people taking their tests. So it's not so much like they need to get this degree. These boys ain't learning. If you're going there just – solely going to
play basketball. Yeah.
Play basketball, then so be it. So I'm very interested to see how this Jennings story is going to play out. The kid that went over to Europe, and see where how he produces in the NBA, because I feel like he might be a pioneer in a lot of high school kids going that route. You know, they're getting paid. You know, and they get over their eligibility thing because they'll be 20 years old, and then they can just come right into the NBA. And it's hard because you want them to go to college and everything, but I really believe that just like RAs or other facilities with the colleges, they get stipends. I think college athletes should get bigger stipends. I mean, they should get paid.
Yeah.
You got these college coaches and everybody else making the university making tons of money. College athletics is the biggest funder for a lot of these universities. You know, so why don't you pay these kids? You know.
Yeah, he's my problem. I'm about to wrap it up.
Okay,
thanks
I'm sorry.
For the phone call.
Good show, though. Good show.
All right, thanks for the call and get back to me.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jr. hasn't came up big at all so far. He is a big man, but he's right now, Kevin Durant is by far and away has been a much better player, so that remains to be seen. Next week, I will continue on the NBA playoffs. Also, I'll be heavy into the draft. The draft will be starting late next week. I don't know why they pushed the draft back to 4 o'clock instead of starting at 12:30, but I'll be heavy into that. A couple of things. I mean, John Madden, of course, retired. Again, how can you have a better career than John Madden as far as a broadcaster and, you know, icon as far as pop culture with the game? And James Harrison got $51 million from Steelers, which is unusual considering that they don't know any paid players. I will see you next week on the Saturday morning wake-up call. So long.